Actually, some of what I'm going to share today has to do with struggles and trials. We look at the Gospel of Matthew chapter 3, and we look at a man. And this is maybe a little bit of a sketch biography of a man of God, whose name is John the Baptist. And you can all tilt your head a little bit, and you'll be okay, right? There you go. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord and make his path straight." Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not think to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water to repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly cleanse out his threshing floor, gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And the rest of it, you can skip the next slide because we're not going to get there today anyway. What I want to do is when I look at this passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 3, and I think I'm going to do this section in Matthew 3, possibly the next one, then I'm going to do a couple of Christmas messages. But I want us to look at the person of John the Baptist. And we see that all of a sudden here, we were in Matthew chapter 2 last week, and we had, the circumstances around the birth of Jesus Christ and the coming of Jesus Christ into the world. And suddenly, it's 30 years later, and all that time has gone by. We looked at the wise men last week and all of that story. But Matthew is not taking a full chronological detail of everything that happened. If you want to know more of the Christmas story, which we're going to do, you go back to the Gospel of Luke and you find out what Luke has to say about it. So what happens here is Matthew jumps right from the time of the wise men and Jesus going back to Nazareth right to the beginning of the ministry of Jesus Christ. And that beginning of that ministry comes with the beginning of a person. And this person was John the Baptist. They called him the Baptist because he did what? He baptized people, right? And so John the Baptist, suddenly he's preaching in the wilderness of Judea. He's not in the main cities, but he's out in the wilderness, out on the edge of civilization, and he begins to cry out to people. And the picture that, it's hard not to get a picture of John the Baptist without thinking of him as a fiery prophet, as someone who was loud and ready to and shouting out. And this is what he says. He is preaching and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So John the Baptist was proclaiming a message. And Matthew 3:3, remember Matthew is always going back to the Old Testament. "For this is he was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah." He's going to the Old Testament from Isaiah 43. "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." So John was like a forerunner. He was like the one to come ahead of Jesus to proclaim the way. It's kind of like if the king was going to come into a town, he would have a herald come before him. And the herald would be announcing his coming, his presence. And he would be declaring that so the people would be ready. That's right. They would come out of their houses, they would dress appropriately, and they would be ready to do that. That's what a herald was for. And John the Baptist was a herald for the coming of Jesus Christ. Now, Christ had already been born. He had lived for 30 years, and there was no miracles. There was no ministry on the go. And that was God's plan, that at the age of 30 years, he would begin his public ministry, and it would last for about 3 years. So John was the herald or the announcer of the ministry and the person of Jesus Christ to the world. It had already been declared when he was born, but we have this huge interlude of time where we find that Jesus experienced what it was to grow up, to live, to be involved in I'm sure, labor, as he probably worked as a carpenter, because that's what his father was. All of the things that Jesus did, he experienced all these life experiences before he began his public ministry. Sometimes, and I think that this happened to me when I was a young preacher, or I was involved in quite a bit of ministry, and I was working in the woods at the same time. And I can remember thinking, I'm ready for ministry. But the elders in the church where I was at begged to differ. And so they advised me, I think you need a little more time under your belt. And I did. I needed some more life experience, right? Now, I had done a lot of crazy living previously, but living on the right side of things. And, you know, if a person sits in an ivory tower and has no life experience, that's not the same thing. You can have a lot of head knowledge. It's like my father used to say, there's a lot of educated fools around. You can have a lot of head knowledge, but no practical knowledge. You run into that all the time, don't you? Some of you, you know, if you meet somebody, all they ever did is sit behind a desk, never saw the actual circumstances, and they're making, they're the ones writing the what you're supposed to do, and it doesn't make any sense. We need life experience. And Jesus was not going to come and just pop on the scene and get crucified and go back to heaven, even though he knew he had to die for our sins. He also, the Bible says, he was tempted in all points like we are, and yet without sin. Jesus lived. God didn't come down with Jesus just popping down here and on a chariot from heaven, and here I am, and then back up again. He went through the whole process that we go through. He went through birth. He went through diaper changes. He went through all of the things that happened to a young boy until he reached the age of 30. And that's why the Bible says that he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He's touched with the feelings of our weaknesses. He's touched. And you know what it's like. Unless you've been there, done that, sometimes it's very hard to relate to people who haven't. Or who have been, and you haven't been there. And lots of times when it comes to ministering to people, unless you've been in their shoes, they can't seem to receive that ministry quite so well. But if you've been in their shoes and you've walked where they've walked, then they know that you have something to offer them. Jesus had to have this kind of life experience. Anyway, that's just a little a side note. I get into side notes too often. But just as speaking about why we have this whole 30-year gap and all the happening when the life of the ministry of Jesus begins. But as Matthew begins to preach, he just says, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness. And that it was prophesied previously. And a little bit about his apparel, you know. You know, I guess they were into what's the latest style or whatever in those days, maybe. Anyway, he says he was clothed in camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Why do you think that kind of detail was given here about John? Okay, yeah, he had to eat, that's for sure. But why camel hair? What does it tell you about the guy? He was poor, okay. What else? He was rough and tough, yeah. Because where did he spend all his time? Where do you think he grew up? He grew up in the wilderness. Yeah, that's for sure. He grew up in the desert. John grew up apart from civilization. Somebody might have called him a hermit. I don't know. But obviously there was something about John here that he was not the cultured one. And remember that at that time in Israel, it was the cultured ones that were the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious rulers. They were the religious. If you want to know something, you need to come to us. And all of a sudden, this guy comes out of the desert, and he's eating desert food. That's what that is, you see, locusts and wild honey. Now, you might go eat the locusts, but they are considered a delicacy in some parts of the world. They pick the legs off, and then they roast the bodies and eat them. So, you know, I mean, we should maybe try that sometime and see for lunch after church and and see what they're like. Maybe a little crunchy, I don't know. But anyway, and wild honey was the same thing. He was garnering his food from the desert. And so this wild man comes out of the bushes and begins to preach. And what do you think the reaction was by the Pharisees and the people who had spent all their days in their ivory towers? And suddenly this guy comes out of the bushes and begins preaching. What do you think they thought of him? Crazy man. That's right. They didn't think very much of him. But this was the person of John the Baptist. But all then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around the Jordan went out to him. There was something about this person that was affecting people. And so we go to the next slide, please. So I want to go back to the birth of John the Baptist just for a second, or the around the birth of John the Baptist in Luke's gospel. And just to understand that Zacharias was a priest in the temple of God. And he only got one opportunity to go and burn incense for his whole life, because there were so many of his tribe that everybody had to get a turn. So he had one turn in his whole life to go to the temple and burn incense, which was part of their culture at the time. And so he was married to Elizabeth. They were barren. They had no children. They couldn't get pregnant. They were old. It was all over for them, but they had been praying for a baby. I'm just giving you this background. We could go to the scriptures, but I won't have time today. I just want to give you a quick picture of where John comes from, because all of a sudden Matthew says, this guy comes out of the desert preaching. Well, there is a history, and Luke has that. And so Zacharias is in the temple, and an angel appears to Zacharias when he goes in for this exciting time of his life, and all the people are outside, and Zacharias gets a message from the angel Gabriel, the same one that announced to Mary, and he tells John that your prayers have been heard, your wife Elizabeth is going to have a baby, and this is going to be the promised one who would go in the power of Elijah. This would be the one that's going to proclaim the coming of the Savior. And Zechariah says, you know, my wife's old. How's this going to happen? And the angel says, okay, you're going to be struck dumb. You're not going to be able to speak until the baby's born, because you didn't believe me. I mean, look, I'm an angel. I'm standing in front of you, and you're not believing me. So you're not going to be able to speak until the baby's born. And that's exactly what happened. So John the Baptist is born. But John the Baptist is a cousin of Jesus. Elizabeth and Mary were cousins, and they didn't live in the same town. And John the Baptist was conceived 6 months prior to Jesus. So he was coming before Jesus. He was 6 months older than Jesus was. And finally, when Mary gets the announcement from the angel about that she will conceive a child, and she did, she goes to, and the angel actually tells her, your cousin Elizabeth's already with child. And so she goes to visit him. And when Mary goes to visit Elizabeth, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. The baby leaped in her womb. The baby was John the Baptist. And in a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, as some would say, as a child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. So we can see that there's some supernatural things at work. And of course, what a statement this is in the face of recognizing that children are children in the womb. They're real children, real babies. And the incredible society that we live in. We talk about Hitler. We talk about some of these awful genocides that have happened in the history of the human race. But the North American culture has been committing genocide by the millions and not blinking an eye about it, patting each other on the back over it without a blink of an eye, without any conviction. And how sad that is when we see even the scriptures testify of the consciousness even in the womb. And there was a consciousness here that John the Baptist came into the presence of Jesus within the womb of Mary and leaped for joy. Next slide, please. Now, after the baby was born, after John was born, it's Zacharias, his father, his tongue got loosened. And when it got loosened, boy, he let loose. And I'm just giving you a little portion of what the Spirit of God put in his mouth to say about his baby and about the coming Savior. You, child, will be called a prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And this is predicting that John the Baptist would be the forerunner of Jesus and that Jesus would come and do all of these wonderful things. He's the day spring from on high, the Lord Jesus. So the child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the deserts until the day of his manifestation to Israel. So there's why he comes out of the desert, right? He spent his time alone with God. And, you know, I want to encourage you, spend time alone with God. Jesus went up into a mountain, spent time alone with the Father. If he had to do it, what do you need, right? If he had to take time to be alone with the Lord, so all of us certainly do. So there's a little bit of background underneath John. Okay, go ahead. In John chapter 1, verse 6, we have a testimony written here. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That's pretty plain, isn't it? That was the ministry that John had. Next one. And here's some of the heart of John as he speaks to people. Some of them came to him and said, hey, after Jesus began his ministry, because John and Jesus' ministry overlapped for a short period of time, John was declaring who Jesus was, and Jesus and his disciples were baptizing, and some people came and said, hey, that guy over there is baptizing more people than you, right? You know, aren't you a little jealous here? And here's John's answer. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it be given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness. I said, I am not the Christ, but I've been sent before him. Because some people thought he was the Christ. They thought he was Elijah. They thought he was Isaiah. He who has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He says, I'm the friend of the bridegroom. I'm not the bridegroom. I'm not the center here. When you go to a wedding, there's the bride and the bridegroom, and they're at the center of things, right? The groom, the friend of the bridegroom is supposed to be, you know, helping, right? Or the bridegroom. I get mixed up here. Okay, so then he says, he must increase, but I must what? Decrease. What a great statement. What a way to live. Lord, you increase and let me decrease. Lord, let people see more of you and less of me. This is the heart of John. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthy and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. So John's setting things straight to these people and saying, listen, I'm not the center here. I am someone that's pointing to the center, who is Jesus. And I'll tell you what, that kind of ministry ought to be all of ours. It's not about you, it's not about me, but it's about Jesus. Next slide. And we find in looking at John's person, this man was an incredibly bold man. He stood and cried out in the public against King Herod, and Herod was a vicious man. And he said, "Herod, you're living wrong." He challenged people when they were living wrong. Who likes to be told they're living wrong or doing wrong? Not too many. So John was popular to some extent. But he was also walking a pretty fine line. And actually, he ended up getting arrested because Herod was living with his brother's wife. And John challenged him on it. And so they got him arrested. And so here's John the Baptist, this great fiery prophet who had no fear whatsoever and proclaimed a message with all of his heart and soul. And the Bible says he went in the spirit and the power of Elijah. This is the person that he was. And yet, he lands in prison, and eventually he gets his head cut off because of his ministry. And here's what happens. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, because John was arrested just after Jesus began his public ministry. He didn't have an opportunity to follow Jesus all the way through his public ministry. He really did decrease while Christ increased because he got taken off the scene because he was arrested. And here he is. He's in prison and he's hearing what Christ is doing. He's sent to his disciples and look what he asked. Are you the one who has come or should we expect someone else? Hadn't he been declaring, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world? Hadn't he stood before kings and spoke the truth? And all of a sudden, what's he doing? He's got what? Questions. He's got doubt. He's got doubt. John was a real person. And he struggled. And now he's in prison. Things, you know, I mean, I don't know what he was thinking. I don't, perhaps he was at least hoping he'd get to, you know, follow Jesus around. I mean, he went through all that work of laying a foundation in the sense of getting, you know, leveling the ground and showing people that they all needed to repent and doing all this work. And now he's just shuttled completely aside into a prison. And he just kind of begins to wonder, are you really the one? If you're the one, why am I here? If God is God, why is this happening in my life? You ever question that? If God is God, why am I going through this deep struggle? Why is this happening? This shouldn't happen. If God is God, why doesn't he just fix everything right away in this person's life or in that person's life? Sometimes we doubt. Sometimes we wonder. Sometimes we don't know what to do. We're full of questions, not answers. I'm there sometimes too. I felt a little bit like that this week. But what does John do? There's one good thing that John does out of this here. What is it? What is it that John's doing here in Matthew 11, 12, and 11, 2 and 3?
Ready?
Pardon me?
He asked,
he asked a question, but who did he ask the question of? He sent to who?
To Jesus.
He sent to Jesus. He sent his disciples because he couldn't go himself. But John turned to Jesus with the problem, right? With all of it, as you know, I just can picture John in prison feeling down. You know, he's, the Bible says he came in the spirit and power of Elijah, in that he was called, like he was the Elijah that was to come. If you remember the story of Elijah, Elijah was an incredible man of God. He stood and challenged the prophets of Baal on top of a mountain and stood them all down, right? But then what does he do? He hears that Jezebel wants to kill him, and he runs for his life, and he gets in a cave, and he gets depressed, and he says, nobody cares. Take me. Take me. He wanted God to just to take him. He was discouraged. And it sounds to me like John was a little discouraged here too. But I want you to know that John turned in the right direction. He asked Jesus. Next slide. Yeah, well, we don't know everything.
We know when he gives it to us at the time.
Yes, yeah.
He knows our will. We don't always know his will because
no. And we can't see the whole picture. We can't. And thank God that we can't. We live by faith. We trust God. Lord, you're going to work it out because he will. Jesus replied, go back to report to John what you've seen. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. And blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. He says, listen, let John know that I'm fulfilling, that I am who I am. My works are testifying. John, it's okay. That's what he's telling him. You're blessed. You're trusting in me. Keep on looking to me. A word of encouragement that Jesus sends to John. Next slide. And as John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out to the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Next one. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet, yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And so, from the days of John the Baptist till now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. If you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Go to the next slide. So we can see Jesus commending John and saying, listen, John was a prophet of the Lord. He was the Elijah that was to come, the prophet that came in that kind of power. And Jesus was commending John as the greatest one who was born of woman. And that is, you know, incredible stamp on the life of John the Baptist. But what I just want you to think about, in this person of John, God called him to a specific ministry for a specific time. And that didn't mean that he was perfect. He had his struggles. And even the boldest person can go through deep trial and struggle. And so don't wonder if somebody fails. Please don't wonder if I fail or struggle sometimes, because I'm weak too. And so all of us are. But many times I've gotten in my face and says, God, I don't understand. But all I can do is trust you. And invariable, he has met me in my need. That doesn't mean it happens right away. But God is faithful. And remember that, friends, as you deal with people. Remember that as you come to God yourself. He's not looking for perfection in you because you're just not perfect. But he is looking for you to trust him. Not only, it gives us a little picture of the person of John, a quick biography of his life. But now we look at the proclamation of John. And what was it, the message that he had? He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This was the primary message of John, was to repent. Two parts of his ministry. One was repentance, and the other one was faith, to look to Jesus. So he was telling them, your life needs to change, but look, there's someone who can change it. Those are the two messages. And you'll find out in the New Testament, the same two messages continued on. The Apostle Paul had them. I'll show that in a minute. And so we see that the people came and they got baptized by him. The crowds came and they were being baptized. Now this baptism, I'm going to very quickly say, was not what believers' baptism is today. It was baptism by immersion. John says, the Bible says John went to the River Jordan and he went to Aon near Salem because there was much water there. So it wasn't grabbing a little cup of water and sprinkling. It was an immersion thing. Actually, Gentiles who wanted to become proselyte Jews, they would actually baptize them. And that's what they would do. They would immerse them. But this was John going to the Jews and saying, you need to be baptized. And baptism was a picture of changed life. Putting away of one life, washing away of one life, and the starting of a whole new life. That's what immersion pictures, under and up. Brand new beginnings. Die and rise. We're going to look at that when we look at the baptism of Jesus. But when we see this, as John was doing this baptizing, he was stepping into a whole area where they said, oh yeah, those proselytes, those Gentiles, they need to be a new life. But now John was saying, you all need a new life. And they were saying, hey, we're the sons of Abraham. We're okay. We've got our lineage. We've got this. We've got. And then John says, no, repent. It's your sin that's got you in trouble, not your lineage. Your lineage won't fix you. You need to repent. So when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said to them, O generation of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. In other words, look, you need to change here. And, I got into a different one here. Oh, yeah, that's just a picture there. Go back to the slide previous. This is the proclamation of John. He was not bold. He spoke to the people, and he really didn't spare it here, did he? He called them a bunch of snakes. My goodness, if I came down to see a preacher, and the first thing he did, he says, you're a snake, I'd probably go out the door. So I'm not going to call anybody a snake today, okay? But I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to encourage you to turn from your sins and to turn from pride and humble ourselves in the sight of God, because the Pharisees didn't. They didn't get baptized by John. They came and they listened to him, but they didn't come and get baptized. It was the crowds that got baptized. They came and judged him. And John challenged him, listen, show that there's real change in your life. Next slide. You see John declaring here that not only was he calling people to repent, but also he was taking them to the place where he speaks about, let's go to the bottom here, John 1:29. The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So he pointed at their sin, but he pointed at Jesus. Remember we saw in Matthew chapter 1, there were two words that I said that encapsulated that chapter. It was sin and a Savior. Two S words, easy to remember. Sin and Savior. And I'll tell you, sin pictures us, and the Savior, of course, is none other than Jesus Christ, who deals with sin. That's the gospel, the good news. Next slide. So we shouldn't be ashamed of speaking about sin, and of course not ashamed about speaking about our Savior. The power of John, we discover that there was power in his ministry. He'll be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall neither drink wine or strong drink, but he'll also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. There it is again, the filling of the Spirit of God on John. He'll also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, Luke 1:17, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And this was the angel speaking to Zacharias in the temple and telling him these things. Next slide. And so we see that all Jerusalem and all Judea and the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. That there was, John was in the power of the Spirit of God, that there was an effectiveness to the ministry that he had. And the people that John preached to is what I want to take another moment just to consider. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and the regions around about him, they came. Next slide. We just read that. In Matthew 3:6, they were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. And when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, and he preaches to them, he says, bring fruit for repentance. Don't think to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And so we'll just leave that slide on for now. But I just want you to think about, here's John who comes. This is the person of John, and it's a work of God that brings him to that place. A person is flawed, a person is not perfect, but a person who's ready to do the ministry that God has called him to do, and he faithfully proclaims that sin is wrong, and I'm going to proclaim that. In this world, I will proclaim that sin is wrong. We cannot say wrong is right, and we cannot pat people on the back. The Bible says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. And so I would rather wound somebody if it was going to help them. It's like if I had an infection and it needs to be lanced, you got to do the lancing. You've got to get it cleaned out. I would be an enemy if I said, well, you know, I don't want to hurt you, so I'm not going to lance this wound. I'm going to leave it. And eventually the wound kills the person, right? So I need to be faithful, and John was faithful, and we need to be faithful to people to lovingly help them to see that their sin will bring them into judgment with God. But then we can point to Jesus, right? We have an answer for our sins. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Whatever sin might be in your life, I can point you to Jesus and say he can deal with it. He can deal with it. Repent and believe in Jesus Christ. Now, the next slide, we can see that this is the same message as the Apostle Paul. He said, I kept back nothing that was helpful, Paul speaking to the Ephesians after years of ministry, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And in Acts 20, verse 26, he says, I testify to you this day, I'm innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Paul was faithful in calling people to repent. Turn from your sins, but put your faith in Jesus Christ. That's the ministry that we have in this world, to give to people. People need to turn from sin. They need to repent, and they need to trust in Jesus Christ. As we go through that life in that kind of ministry, we're going to come under attack. Some people are not going to like it. We might end up in jail. Lots of people in countries today are incarcerated for their faith in Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean we're going to deliberately go out and be obnoxious. No, but it means we're going to tell the truth and speak it. Speak it in love, but proclaim it. But we are going to point to Jesus and say, here's the answer. Here's the answer for our sins. May God give us grace in the struggles of life and in the ministries that he's called us to, in the brokenness that's all around us, and the brokenness that sometimes we're experiencing. May God give us grace to be able to go forward, trusting him. And when we have our fears and we have our doubts and we don't know what to do next, turn your eyes on Jesus, even as John did from a prison cell, and he will give an answer, and he will carry us forward. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your ministry in the life of John the Baptist. Thank you for your ministry in our lives. And we want to have his heart, Lord. We want to be able to say, he must increase, I must decrease. We want, Lord, to be able to share with broken people that there's hope and there's an answer in Jesus Christ. Thank you that you take away sin. And we're so grateful, Lord, for this incredible ministry that we can experience in our own lives. So, Lord, we come to you and just say, have your way in our hearts. We remember again together that you would, Lord, bless Gaston today. We pray fervently for him, Lord, and for Kate and Michael, and just be with them. And, Lord, do marvelous things that only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless our food and fellowship. Amen.